This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Governor Cuomo, but apparently he never heard of the Me Too movement and doesn't understand what the Attorney General's report says after months and months of investigations. In fact, he's looking to discredit one of his accusers. Meanwhile, it's a shocker from the Olympics with a relay team for the men from the U.S. who don't even qualify for the finals as they are knocked out, coming in sixth. They fumbled the baton, didn't drop it, but might as well have, because once again, the handoff didn't work. Hey, everybody, Kate Delaney, thanks so much for popping on and joining us on this show, whether you're a first-timer or been here a long time, or just heard about us and you have started to partake in the last few weeks. I'm getting a lot of emails from people like that. So thank you for letting me know. Thanks for the heads up. And we will talk during the mailbag segment, which is coming up next. All right, let's talk about the big groper, I mean governor. And that would be Governor Cuomo. You know, here's the deal. He was a rising star in the Democratic Party. He, during COVID, had live updates in trying to keep New Yorkers safe. He went up against the former president, Donald Trump, and irked him several times. But there was a 170-page-plus report that the Attorney General drafted, Leta James. And she concluded after her months-long investigation that the governor sexually harassed 11 women, including current and former state employees, from 2013 to 2020, which violates state and federal law. You know, when you have top aides testifying that the governor did some of the things that he did, and you have others that stepped forward and had other connections and brushes with the governor, and you interview, investigate, and thoroughly come up with a report and say, which you would normally say, it's up to the governor what to do, the governor is not going to govern himself. So in the wake of the AG report, there are people that are calling for his resignation before the impeachment process would start at the state level. So, like I said, at this point, trying to smear accusers and go after their credibility, I mean, that's the thing that's come up, that they've drafted a letter trying to do that. So now there's even more of a backlash against the governor for some of what's happening behind the scenes. How does he survive this? I have no idea. And the recommendations, I believe, from so many top Democrats is it's time to step away. It's time to get out. But he's not moving. There is no movement from the governor's office whatsoever. And why do I lead off talking about that here on this show? Because New York is our biggest, one of our, especially New York City, but New York is one of our biggest states, and so goes New York sometimes, or California, whether we like it or not, so goes the rest of the nation and then all the opinions in between. So while this governor aggressively went after some other political foes, he had his own dirty laundry going on. And now he is a distraction as we have the surge in the COVID-19 Delta variant happening and affecting the people in New York. And in fact, in New York City, the mayor, Bill de Blasio, having that statement and issuing the executive order that they're going to look for vax cards. So you have to be vaccinated to go to gyms, to go to bars, to go to restaurants. And that's one of the first and biggest places in the country that has signed on to do that, while companies really are grappling with what to do. So many big companies who were hoping in September that everybody would be back in the office are now reeling that back, as are schools trying to decide what to do. Look at Florida. In Florida, you have Governor DeSantis saying that he may hold back money for schools that tell students they have to wear a mask. So now they're in the thick of it because there are massive surges in cases, and parents of younger children and some of these school districts are butting up against what the governor has decided that's best for Florida. A similar thing is starting to happen in Texas as well. And then you have the idea of, okay, so we have this Delta variant. We're looking at the numbers, and we're thinking, what do you do? What about, how safe are we if we're vaccinated? And what about the possibility of getting this booster shot? I mean, hey, after all, in Israel, they're doing it, and they feel like this is the definite thing that you should do, because if you have the booster shot, then you're that much more protected from this new severe strain. Well, then you have the World Health Organization saying, whoa, 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 whoa. We need to stop the COVID-19 booster shots until at least the end of September, because we got a shortfall in vaccine supplies to poor countries. And this happens because other countries, including the U.S., has been talking about administering booster shots to increase protection for those most at risk from COVID-19. So it does highlight some of the tension between a government and their desire to protect their own populations and what global public health experts say is the long-term risk if the virus is allowed to circulate freely in poorer countries, that it would have multiple opportunities to mutate, oh boy, into variants that are more successful at defeating vaccines. Does anyone out there want that? Ugh. So the highly infectious Delta variant of the coronavirus is becoming dominant in country after country after country after country. The Germans, the French, they want to give the booster shot. Israel's already done it. In the U.S., there's been that conversation about doing it. But the World Health Organization says that there isn't really firm evidence about the longer-term effectiveness of COVID-19 vaccines, given that they've only been in use for a few months. What do you think? Yay or nay? If the U.S. wants to give booster shots, should they be concerned, more concerned about the global vaccine supply because it would squash this thing faster? Or no, we need to get the booster shot into the arms of people who desperately are much more vulnerable and need it. Mailbag coming up.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to mysolarbackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's mysolarbackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at mysolarbackup.com.
Right now, millions of Americans have an uneasy feeling about the future. That's why they're quietly stockpiling as much emergency food as they can. What about you? Do you have enough emergency food to get you through a prolonged crisis? If not, take a moment to shop My Patriot Supply. We're America's leader in emergency preparedness and survival. Since 2008, we've served several million American families like yours. In fact, our mission is your survival. So head on over to MyPatriotSupply.com and grab a few of our tasty emergency food kits. Our food stays fresh for up to 25 years in storage and is shipped quickly and discreetly to your door. One day, you might be eating breakfast, lunch, or dinner while everyone else is standing in a food line. Avoid that. It's too late to act once the other shoe drops. It's time to be self-reliant and prepared. And now you can. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Hi, this is Kate Delaney, and I have a confession to make. I'm addicted to journaling. So many of the ideas I get from my radio show or books hit me at weird times, and I need to write them down. Does that happen to you? So I decided to create my own journal with my pal Jackie. Looking for a great gift for your wife, sister, mother, aunt, friend, or boss to end 2020 or kick off 2021? My girlfriend's gratitude journal includes inspirational quotes and loads of room to write, and it just dropped. Here's the best part. You'll also get a copy of my Forbes book, Deal Your Own Destiny. Increase your odds, win big, and become extraordinary. It's loaded with ways to chart your own life and filled with the success habits with some of the biggest names on the planet, stuff they share with me that can help catapult you. Here's the best part. For both hardcover books, it's just $29.99. Yep, go to katedelaneyradio.com, click on books, and special offer. Again, all of it for just $29.99. I got the shipping covered. What are you waiting for? Just go to katedelaneyradio.com, click on books, and special offer today.
I love it. We are in the mail room, and this is such a timely one from Doug in Oklahoma City. He says, Kate, what's going on with the men's basketball team? I know that they were lame, at least Katie was, in the beginning of the event, although that was kind of the warm-up act, and we weren't deep into anything. What's happened since then as I have not paid attention? Well, your email couldn't be more timely. We are in the semifinals, we being the men's basketball team, Team USA, right now taking on Australia, and it's neck and neck. With 8 minutes to go in the third quarter, the U.S. leads the Aussies 46-45. They have a good chance to win a gold medal, but did you hear I said a good chance? Nothing is a definite in the Olympics. It's not. We've seen some really strange things that have happened, although I feel pretty good about the U.S. men now, Doug, just so you know. It seems like they're gelling a lot better, and it's tough to go against Greg Popovich, who is the coach of the team, the longtime Spurs coach. I like Pop. I think he is, I don't want to say taskmaster, but he's good at pulling the strings, and he's pulling the strings, I think, now for this 2020 Olympic team, which is now, of course, the 2021 Olympic team for the men. All right, we move on to this one from Mandy. I like some of these new faces. And Mandy says, hi, Kate. I've been following you now for a few weeks. Somebody I know in New Orleans told me about your show. We were talking about what was happening and what were some of the things that were happening around the country, and they said that you did a good job of mentioning a lot of different places. Yeah, nooks and crannies, baby. I always say that usually at the top of the show. What is the buzz that's happening in your backyard and mine? Because it's all the same people. We're all Americans, right? We're in this thing together, and we're not equal when it comes to places that are getting slammed more than others. And, of course, all the governments are different on what the governors are deciding versus in other countries where you just have lockdowns, like in Australia, lockdown. Let's just lock them down. That's what we're going to do because we had a bunch of cases. We're going to lock down. You imagine if there's a lockdown in the United States, like tomorrow Joe Biden has a press conference from the White House that says, okay, we are in a mandatory lockdown. And, oh, by the way, that means that you cannot leave your house at 10 o'clock at night because we're also putting you under a curfew, which some other countries are doing. And you can go outside for 1 hour a day. And then, you know, in Australia, they got police that are patrolling and looking for people that are breaking the law and breaking the lockdown law. And it changes, but, you know, that wouldn't fly in the U.S. It wouldn't fly. All right, let's move on to this one. This one is from Sandy, who says, Kate, I used to live in Florida, and I have a couple of kids that live in Florida now. I think DeSantis has lost his mind. I initially like some of what DeSantis has done in the past. I mean, I will be honest about that. But now, boy, talk about losing faith, where he's threatening schools that they want kids to wear masks, and he's threatened to take money away from them. He's setting himself up to be the bad guy. Why would he do that? If schools, individual school districts or school boards decide that that's the right thing to do because they have XYZ amount of kids that are unvaccinated, why not let them do that and make their own decisions, especially if you look at the age of some of these kids and some of these districts that they're saying they need to mask up? Well, exactly. I don't know. Why can't they decide themselves? I agree with that. I mean, for the schools, you know, that makes sense. If he wants to have a mandate for Florida and basically say, you know, nobody can mandate this. You can't have a company and you can't tell everybody to do this. Okay. But with Florida hospitals fighting to get oxygen, and they are, with no beds in so many places, to tell school districts who are scared to death, who are now having a mask mandate, to tell them we're going to cut off your money. Oh, what are you thinking? Absolutely. I agree. What? Why? What is that about? Let the school do it. If that's what the school board voted, let them do it. And they're also offering, by the way, online learning. So if somebody was against that, then they don't have to go to school, at least till they get through the whole Delta variant, and then they can figure out it will look a lot different after that. But it is scary again in Florida, and it depends from county to county. All right, we move on to this one. This one is from Patrick, who says, I just don't believe the arrogance of Cuomo. I mean, maybe people knew things I didn't know about him. I was never necessarily a great fan. But listen, when they have squeezed you and people have given specific testimony, others have backed it up, and you have 11 women who have come out against him, it makes no sense to try to hang on to the governorship, because where does he go? Is he going to get reelected? No. Does he have a chance at president? No. The time is now for him to get out of the way. I have a lot of family, Kate, still in New York, And it makes no sense. And let me tell you, my family is all over the board. We got independents. We got wackadoodles who believe every conspiracy theory you can imagine. We have liberal Democrats. We got it all. It is a smorgasbord when it comes to politics. But the one thing everybody agrees on is he has to go. Every time I talk to my mother, talk to my brother, it's the first thing that they bring up. He is out. It is time. It's up. It is over. Get out of the way. Yeah, it's so interesting, isn't it, right? You know, you lost, you lost. I mean, you lost after this report. That's it. Because then what happens? Now you have the New York Democratic chair calling for him to resign. You have half of the New York Assembly wanting him to get out. And if he doesn't quit, then they start the whole impeachment thing. So that also burns up taxpayer money and time, et cetera, when they can be focusing on other things. I mean, there's nowhere to go with this. It's not, nothing's happening. Right? It's not. It's not happening. There are some that are coming to his aid who are saying that it's a witch hunt that against him. There are some that are saying that, including Newsmax's Greg Kelly, who said that. So there are some people that are sticking up for Cuomo and saying it's not right, but it's very small margin. Let's just put it that way. All right, we move on to this one from Tony. Kate, the anti-vaxxers versus the vaxxers. How about the drummer for Offspring saying that he is not going to get the vaccine and he wants to share a story so that anybody else who's being isolated or left behind knows that they're not alone? And so he got booted from the band that he has been a part of for 14 years. I did hear that story. So it's Pete Parada you're talking about. And what he said is, people don't know my story, that he's got a medical history and side effects, that things that have happened, and his doctor advised him not to get the shot. He said he caught the virus a year ago. It was mild. And he said he was confident he'd be able to handle it again, but he's not confident he could survive another post-vaccination round of the Guillain-Barré syndrome, which goes back to his childhood and has gotten progressively worse over his lifetime. So he said for him and his family, the risks far outweigh the benefits, and that's what the deal is. He said he doesn't feel any ill will toward the rest of the band. And since he can't comply with the mandate, he and they've decided that he's unsafe to be around in the studio and on tour, that's it. That he's out, that he's going to be out. I mean, Offspring has a sold-out show Sunday at SoFi Stadium as part of the Los Angeles Chargers Fan Fest. And then they've got a U.S. and European tour, so he's out. Mm. All right, I will meet you, I promise, on the flip side. I'm introducing you to an interesting author who has a fascination with vampires.
When it comes to the tools in your garage, it's all about lithium ion. Plenty of power, maximum efficiency, and a longer life. Introducing Nobelift lithium ion powered forklifts. All the power and efficiency you need, and essentially maintenance free. With a dramatic savings in overall cost of ownership, Nobelift forklifts pay for themselves over time, and that increases your bottom line. Nobelift, revolutionizing the material handling industry one job at a time. What's in your warehouse? Contact us today for a cost analysis at NobeliftNA.com/save.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
USA Radio News with Dan Naraki. Nearly all foreign visitors to the U.S. may soon need to be vaccinated against the coronavirus. The White House is considering the requirement as part of a plan to reopen travel into the country for foreign travelers, as it faces pressure from airlines and allies to lift travel restrictions. The administration has not yet laid out a timeline for announcing or implementing the rule change. And a group of landlords late Wednesday challenged the CDC's latest moratorium on evictions, days after the initial ban had expired. The Alabama Association of Realtors asked a federal judge in Washington to lift the CDC's order, calling it unlawful and saying it was enacted to bow to political pressure. The group had been successful in their previous challenge to an eviction ban, having it declared unlawful back in May. Tuesday's order applies to areas of the country where there are substantial or high COVID transmission rates, currently about 82% of counties. You're listening to USA Radio News. Germany is the latest country to send a warship to the disputed South China Sea. Les Pry has more.
Germany sent a warship to the South China Sea on Monday for the first time since 2002, as tensions continue over China's claim of the territory. China says the nearly 1.3 million square mile area in the South China Sea are within its sovereign territory due to language in the Law of the Sea Convention. From the West Coast USA Radio News Bureau, I'm Lance Pry.
And a new survey shows that American workers would be willing to give up a little of their paycheck to keep working from the home office. The poll from insurance provider Breeze showed that 65% of respondents would be willing to take a 5% pay cut to work from home full-time, with 15% saying they'd be willing to take a cut as large as 25%. A majority of respondents said that given the option, they'd be willing to part with paid time off if given the option to work from home full-time. This is USA Radio News.
Stop aging now. Restore those joints. Boost your strength. Because it's official. NutraMedical has released the most exciting, powerful anti-aging supplement on the market. Dr. Bill Deagle's Red Deer Velvet DR has been approved by the U.S. Patent Office. Imagine stem cell rejuvenation all in one capsule without huge expense. Dr. Bill MD discovered that as an unborn baby grows in the mother's womb, he or she does not deteriorate or physically age. Red Deer Velvet DR, like the uterus, provides 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones protected in one special DR capsule that delivers lipid packages directly into your circulation. This patented technology bypasses the stomach and is released into the small bowel unaltered by digestive enzymes and stomach acid. Remember, Red Deer Velvet DR. Improve endurance, stimulate your immune system, increase learning ability, and even improve sexual libido with Red Deer Velvet DR. Click NutriMedical.com. That's NutriMedical.com. Or call toll-free 888-212-8871 and get on the road to a newer, rejuvenated, happier you.
I do have a fascination with vampires. I do. So it's so perfect that in our virtual green room, we have an author who has written, I mean, who knows how many books she's going to have by the time she's done, but she's written some fascinating books, starting with Dreams and Vampires, Power of the Vampire, The Saga of a World Called Hetra, Rise of the Hybrids, The Saga of the World Called Hetra, I hope I'm saying that right, and then Attack of the Warrior Queen, Return of the Prehistoric Vampire, and I think there's much more coming down the pike. So Dee Kroll is, again, in that virtual dark room, and she joins us now. Hey, Dee, thanks so much for coming on.
Sure. I'm glad to be here.
Let's talk about your, you know, your decision to go, first of all, to write novels and how you have this, I think you have a fascination with vampires and creating these worlds, that kind of thing. How did that develop?
Well, actually, I grew up on the paranormal. That was my favorite, but I read just about everything. I was an avid reader. Both of my parents were avid readers, and I just sort of took up where they left off. But I started these books because my husband passed away from complications of Alzheimer's in 2009. And I went one day from being a full-time caregiver to having very little to do. We lived in a retirement community in Arizona. And I was a part of a few things on, you know, just different activities. But I couldn't do much because of him. So all of a sudden I had nothing to do. And my husband was an avid History Channel watcher, which I called it the Hitler Channel because there's so many things on there about World War II and Hitler. So he was also a science fiction reader, and that wasn't really my thing. I was more into paranormal, but one day I was watching, I did enjoy watching Michio Kaku, and I was watching a science show one day, and he was talking about parallel worlds, which was very fascinating to me. And I just thought to myself, gee, I wonder what it would be like to marry science fiction and the paranormal by writing a story about a world that is all actually parallel to ours, and that was inhabited by supernatural creatures. And that was kind of how it started. I just all of a sudden decided, okay, I was really busy. I threw myself into a lot of different kinds of things because it's a very active community, some of the retirement communities that you can live in Arizona. And along with those activities, I started doing research on parallel worlds. And that went into a little more, like I started finding out more about, on Wikipedia, more about the history of vampires, werewolves, witches, parallel worlds, portals, teleportation, and Wicca, which is the religion on my new world. And it's actually pronounced Hatray.
Yeah, yeah. Hatray.
And, yeah, Hatray. That's all right. There are a lot of names in there that are a strange pronunciation, but every single character in my book is named is an anagram of my name. I'm on my third marriage. My first husband and I separated when my son was a teenager, and my second husband passed away. And now I'm remarried again. So I have several names besides my maiden name that I had a pretty good alphabet to choose from.
Yeah.
For these. But it just sort of worked out. And I started creating my characters after I did all this research. And I really wanted my world to sound like it might be a real thing. Because just the idea of parallel worlds is something that scientists or astrophysicists have been talking about for a while. And now they're beginning to say that, you know, we do believe that this is something that could be reality, that there are parallel worlds there. And when Michio Kaku started explaining it, I was sort of understanding it. So my husband had books by Brian Greene and Stephen Hawking and Michio Kaku, and I read them all because I was just fascinated with all of this, and I wanted my story to sound real. And that was one of the reasons why I did the What If intro. Basically, my purpose was, what if everything you thought was an illusion turned out to be true? How would you react if suddenly you discovered that the stories you thought were fantasy are true? Many great authors have written science fiction novels about events that are now scientific fact. And according to Wikipedia, the Internet Encyclopedia, stories about vampires and werewolves predate recorded history. So how do we know that they never existed? Physicists are saying now that parallel worlds are a real possibility, and our universe is filled with many galaxies and universes. And it boggles the mind to think about how many parallel worlds could be out there. Oh, yes, and one more thing. A parallel world can also be very different from ours. So what if on one of these parallel worlds, vampires and werewolves were real? So that was how I started the book in the very beginning.
Yeah.
That is what set me off. And from there on, my characters led me.
Yeah, and it's interesting. You're so right about the characters, and that description is brilliant because that's how you read the books, and they just continue. And as you said, this world, when you're talking about Hatre, right, that's what it is.
Hatre.
When you talk about Hatre, which now makes sense if you think of some of what you're saying about the characters, how did you create that? What, in your mind, were you visually seeing it?
Actually, the world is very similar to Earth. However, it is a very wet atmosphere. And they actually had roads at one point, but the roads are covered over by the growth of trees and brush and because of the wet atmosphere. And humans really can't survive on that planet for very long. So the humans that are brought to the planet, which is another aspect of the story, actually have to be turned. So they are brought to the planet and turned to be vampires. So, because the vampires, the hierarchy is vampire, werewolf, witches, and humans.
Right.
And they all have extraordinary long lives, and they've been coming to Earth for thousands of years. And we had no idea about it, but hence, that could be where all of the legends and stories came from.
I love it. So, do you have a favorite character?
Well, yes, I do. I did on my blog, there's one blog that is called Interview with a Vampire. And he was the very first vampire on the scene, because this whole thing starts in Southern California. And then my main character, Laurel, moves to Arcata, California, up north, which is where I moved to myself. And I didn't do that because I put the setting there. It was just one of those things. I needed to leave, and I could not afford to go to Southern California. But my sister lives up here, and I asked her if she has a little house on the back of her property, and I asked her if it would be available. And it wasn't at first, but then it became available, and that's where I moved. So my main character came to Arcata, California, and that was where she met the first vampire. And that was when she was abducted.
Wow.
I won't give any more spoilers.
Yeah, I was just going to say, don't spoil it. And you do have a blog, and you can find out all this stuff if you go to dkrull.com, and that's K-R-U-L-L, so everybody knows. Very, very easy to find. What do you hope people take away from reading your books?
Well, the story is really kind of similar to all of the havoc that goes on here. There's prejudice, and actually the king of this world is basically segregating. He does not allow anyone to go through interspecies marriages or bondings are taboo. And so a lot of it revolves around this king and how he is literally ruining the world. And there's also aliens who are trying to overtake the planet because this planet has portals all over it, and that's the way that they have been going from their planet to other planets, but mostly they've been going to Earth. So the first vampire's name is Nathan. And he is the one who introduces himself, and he kind of stalks Laurel in the very beginning because she starts out as a college student with a boyfriend, and she's living with him, and she keeps seeing this strange person every now and then, but he disappears. And she just eventually meets with him and finds out a little bit about what's going on. And he and the main love interest in the first book, mm-hmm. whose name is Kianis, mm-hmm. Kidnap her and take her to their world.
Wow.
So that's where the story starts.
Right. That's where it starts. All right, so we're not giving any more away. You can get it on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, any place where books are sold. And, of course, you have the website, too. Dee, thanks so much for coming on.
Sure, no problem. I really appreciate having this opportunity.
SuperTea.com. Powdy Arco Tea builds red corpuscles in our blood, which carries oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate. Our immune system needs oxygen to develop. And cancer dies in oxygen. A one-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit drinksupertea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's 818-965-9113.
Do you feel like you're doing what you were made for? Do you love what you do? Do you feel inspired or at least pretty happy most days? In my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big and Become Extraordinary, I share the secrets that rock stars share with me from the business world, people like Sir Richard Branson, or sports hall of famers like former Cowboy great Emmitt Smith. All of them had one thing in common. They paid attention to their gut, followed their dreams, and didn't listen to the critics. George Eliot says it's never too late to be who you might have been. Pick up a copy of Deal Your Own Destiny on Amazon today.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
It's about time for the 15th anniversary of Sunny Bay. And it may be our 15-year anniversary, but it's your chance at winning from weekly drawings in our contest for better health. We owe our success to you, GCN listeners. So as our thanks, you may win our grand prize, an Amazon gift card, plus Sunny Bay's complete set of superior pain relief products and services with a total prize value up to $4,152. How do you enter the Sunny Bay 15th anniversary contest for better health? Easy. Just click sunny-bay.com. No purchase necessary. Remember, there will be weekly drawings. Yes, it's our 15th anniversary, and it's your chance to win in Sunny Bay's 15th anniversary contest for better health. For complete contest rules and prize values, visit sunny-bay.com. That's sunny-bay.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, silverlungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at silverlungs.com. That's silverlungs.com.
You to Chris Slaughter. His book is called Abide in Me, A Daughter's Illness, A Father's Struggle, and a Reminder that the Miraculous Isn't Just a Thing of the Past. So we're going to talk about his daughter's story, and we're going to talk about what just recently Chris was had a struggle too as well. Chris, thanks so much for coming on.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. It's a gift considering the people you typically interview. I realize I'm way out of my weight class here, so I'm just happy to be able to chat with you.
Oh, no, you're not. You have a great story to share that I think will really help a lot of people. So let's talk about your daughter. What happened with your daughter, and what did your family go through?
So I think the brief version would be the illness with which she was afflicted at the age of six, which is called linear morphia. If you've never heard of it, don't worry. Most doctors haven't either. It's a disease where your body starts to manufacture collagen in a way that's almost cancer-like. So you end up having to go through the struggle of chemotherapy and steroid infusions with a kid who's, you know, 6 years old. Not exactly every parent's dream. We always have expectations as parents. That's never one of them at the onset. Miraculously made it through that with absolutely no issues whatsoever, which was a shock to everyone. But then at age eight, she was afflicted by a second disease called autoencephalitis. Effectively, your body starts to manufacture things that attack your brain. and completely strip it apart. So rather apropos for the timing of, you know, Olympics right now, she was a competitive gymnast, 8 years old, bilingual, and within a matter of 2 weeks went from that to the equivalent of a 12-month-old who forgot how to walk, forgot how to talk, and forgot who her own family members were. So just this, just a completely, it's so surreal, it's even difficult to articulate.
Wow. And so that hits you, and what do you and your wife do? I mean, obviously you're seeking everything medically that you could possibly think of, but how tough is that?
Cry. I mean, like all the things that, you know, as parents, you believe you can and can't do. You can and can't prevent, and the sense of control that you want to have, not only for your own life, but especially when it comes to your kids. That's one where, you know, it was earth shattering for us for a while there. That said, you know, this disease was just so, it was in its infancy. It was in a place where people really didn't understand it yet. And it's come a long way in the 8 years since my daughter had it, where it was just a long waiting period for us to see what would happen. And we've been extremely fortunate in terms of our daughter's own healing. And the rest of the community now is extremely fortunate to have far more awareness. But that's part of it, is creating awareness for diseases such as this, that exist on the fringe of what we understand from a neurological standpoint, raising money, funding, creating support systems, meeting with people who have kids who are just now starting with this, where we have at least a story of hope to share with them. But at the time that we experienced it, it was virtually unheard of.
Yeah, and we want to tell everybody, too, that it's so great that you're sharing this and sharing what you learned and all of that. The silver lining is now she's 16, and how's she doing now?
The kid's a machine. She can put down a six-minute mile in a pinch. She has her own driver's license, has a job, volunteers, and has a job at a retirement community where she delivers food to the elderly. Has a sort of part-time volunteer gig where she sends out bereavement letters for a hospice. She's developed such a compassion and a heart for those who are suffering that I don't think she would have had if she'd not gone through her own experience. And at the same time, we're now looking at colleges because she wants to become a neurosurgeon to help kids like her.
Wow. Wow, 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 wow. That's terrific. And briefly, too, you go through this, and we're going to talk about the book, deeper in about the book, but you also just had a health scare, too.
I did. I had kind of my own issue, and again, apropos timing for a lot of what's out there. I know you speak with a lot of athletes. Between both physical, emotional, and stress-related issues, I had a bit of a break there where things unraveled for me, and I had to kind of hit the reset button and take a look at how I'm spending my time and what I'm doing with my life and where I need to be in terms of my own, you know, physical and mental health. Where when you've got American athletes like Simone Biles and Michael Phelps making statements about it,
yeah,
it's something we all need to be mindful of. Like, the strongest of the strong in our country are bringing things to light.
Yep.
It's something where I think we all periodically need to look in the mirror and just kind of see where we are.
Yeah, absolutely. So tell us about the book, Abide in Me. Tell us a little bit more about it.
So it was written during the period where my daughter was ill. There just were so many people asking how she was doing that it got difficult to keep up. First, you try to respond to each person. Then you make a Facebook page to respond to them, which I'm old enough to just call it Facebook, not whatever kids are doing that's new and cool these days. But then people really said, you need to put pen to paper. And for me, that became more of a spiritual calling, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
Where Abide in Me is a reference to a Bible verse, you know, if a man abides in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit, but apart from me, he can do nothing. And at the conclusion of a few more verses, you end up in a space where it says, and I tell you all of this so that my joy may be in you and so that my joy may be complete. And when you've got a kid on chemo, like that, that's not really what naturally comes to mind.
Right.
So I knew it was something that was coming from a space beyond me. And my background is mathematics. I'm a finance economics nerd. So the, even the concept of writing a book was completely foreign. So I knew that this continual push to do it was something that was coming from elsewhere.
Yeah. What do you hope people take away from reading your book?
The real hope is, number one, you're not alone. There are so many people, and I've spoken to people from Israel, from South Africa, from all kinds of other places where, because this disease is so obscure, the autoencephalitis disease, they just feel like no one else has any idea what they're going through. So that's one piece of it. The other is just support for those around you, whether you're a caretaker, whether you're a doctor, whether you're one of the first responders dealing with this, the psychiatrists even are now starting to get acquainted with this disease. The hope is just that there's recognition of it and there are better treatment protocols for it. And then again, you know, you hope with increasing awareness, you increase funding to help take care of those who are in the midst of the struggle.
Yeah, and it is about that awareness and fundraising and getting the best of the best that you can out there. And your book is on Amazon, right?
Yes, ma'am. So it should be on pretty much any medium that you want to pick it up on, and something we've not yet touched upon. But when we talk about fundraising, 100% of all proceeds go to my daughter's hospital. Because we believe that this is something that's about taking care of those who need it now. Like, we've got a great story of healing, but a lot of people haven't been quite so fortunate. So we're trying to ensure that we continue to push forward down a path so that fewer and fewer people experience it, it's diagnosed faster, and it's treated more effectively.
Yeah. Wow. So again, just as Chris said, any place where books are sold, and of course Amazon is one of those, and Abide in Me, A Daughter's Illness, A Father's Struggle, and a reminder that the miraculous isn't just a thing of the past. Chris, thanks so much for coming on the show.
And thank you very much for having me. I deeply appreciate it.
All right, so what a conversation with Chris Slaughter. Wow, powerful. And I am so, I don't know if impressed is right, but I am impressed by how he came through. But the fact that he does the thing that I think is so powerful is he wants to give back. He wants other people to be aware of this disease and autoencephalitis disease and what it is, and that you're not alone, like he said. And this book is something, and anybody can read this book, and it's powerful. It's a powerful testimony, really, to so many different things, to his inspirations, to what happened, how they got through, and everything else in between. So pick the book up. And thanks so much to all of you for listening to the show and this interview. Make it count, everybody. Do you feel like you're doing what you were made for? Do you love what you do? Do you feel inspired or at least pretty happy most days? In my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big and Become Extraordinary, I share the secrets that rock stars share with me from the business world, people like Sir Richard Branson, or sports hall of famers like former Cowboy great Emmitt Smith. All of them had one thing in common. They paid attention to their gut, followed their dreams, and didn't listen to the critics. George Eliot says it's never too late to be who you might have been. Pick up a copy of Deal Your Own Destiny on Amazon today.
DrinkSuperTea.com. Powdy Arco Tea helps regenerate new cells. Everything from the cells in our skin to the cells in our organs, so they function properly. Great for healthy people and can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a disease. A one-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit DrinkSuperTea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's 818-965-9113.